Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Disney Plus Cheese, a podcast where two childless men in their 20s talk about films on Disney Plus with a cynical eye. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I am actually doing quite well.
That's good.
How are you doing?
I've been feeling really sleepy. In fact, I touched this like prick of like a spinning wheel, and now I've been asleep.
A spinning wheel? I'm pretty sure we burned all the spinning wheels back in the Great Purge of spinning wheels.
Well, fuck you. It came back together. I flicked my finger. Fuck you.
When President Donald Trump decreed that all spinning wheels be burned.
They be put in cages. No. They gotta be put in cages.
But we're burning the spinning wheels. My daughter is gonna die to a spinning wheel. We're burning them all.
She gotta be 16. I can't do a Trump. See, my Trump eventually becomes Kennedy, is the thing.
They're kind of the same accent, to be honest with you, so.
Like shitty New Yorker. Either way, today we're talking about Sleeping Beauty, guys.
Yeah, we had to talk about one of these classic old Disney ones eventually, right?
Yeah, they're all on there, so we gotta talk about them. Sleeping Beauty is a 1959 American animated musical fantasy film produced by the Walt Disney Company based on The Sleeping Beauty by Charles Perrault, the 16th Disney animated feature film. It was released in theaters on January 29th, 1959 by Buena Vista Distribution. This was the last Disney adaptation of a fairy tale for some years because of its initial mixed critical reception and underperformance at the box office. The studio did return to the genre about 33 years later. About 30 years later.
Did you forget how to talk, Jess?
I did. The studio did not return to the genre until 30 years later, after Walt Disney died in 1966 with the release of The Little Mermaid in 1989. It features the voices of Mary Costa, Eleanor Audrey, Verna Felton, Barbara Luddy, Barbara Jo Allen, Bill Shirley, Taylor Holmes, and Bill Thompson. The film is directed by Les Clark, Eric Larson, and Wolfgang Reitherman, under the supervision of Clyde Geronimi. Geronimi? Those are fucking messes of names. The musical score and songs of the film were featuring the work of the Symphony Orchestra under the direction of George Burns, and arrangements of the Sleeping Beauty Ballet by Tchaikovsky. Unlike previous film adaptations, this was the first Disney feature film that did not have the same background animation material, but instead with brand new background animation material, so they aren't reusing for this film.
Well, not reusing background material.
Yes. Sleeping Beauty was the first animated film to be photographed in the Super Technorama widescreen 70mm process, as well as the second full-length animated feature film to be filmed in anamorphic widescreen, following Disney's own Lady and the Tramp 4 years earlier. The film was presented in Super Technorama 70 and 6-channel stereophonic sound in first-run engagements, and that's why this film looks a lot more cinematic than most Disney films.
Most early Disney films.
I'd say then a lot of their later animated work, too.
Really? Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think it looks about the same as some of the later stuff.
All right. So what do you think of Sleeping Beauty, Andrew? This is both yours and my first time really watching this.
And the story is extremely underwhelming. And it's honestly a little bizarre watching something that is so dated as far as like the politics of the movie itself. Does that make sense?
No, explain it to me.
Okay. Who is the main character of this movie? Is it
I'd say it's the three witches.
Yeah.
The little fairy girls.
The Sleeping Beauty character is literally just kind of carted around by everyone else in the whole movie. It is literally, I would say, an object. Like, this is the closest I've ever seen to one of the main characters just being an object. She doesn't do anything. At all.
She, she sings some pretty songs and dances and stuff. Like, she's there. She does things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She looks pretty, and then she falls asleep, and then we don't see her till the end of the movie, and then they get married. Which is, it's an arranged wedding as well. One of the good things that happens is they don't have to cancel the arranged marriage.
That's the best thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like a politically extremely dated. And usually I don't care that much about that type of thing, but this one was a little much, I think.
Now, why do you think it's political?
I don't think it's political. I don't think the movie is political. I'm saying the politics of the time were so different. Like, that if this movie had come out, if Disney put this movie out today, there is no way there wouldn't be a lot of backlash. This movie would get a ton of hate for just the themes that are in it.
I mean, they did do a live-action Disney remake of it, and a sequel to that live-action Disney remake of it.
Yeah, told from the opposite perspective.
I'm hearing voices, and it's scaring me, Andrew.
Yeah, somebody just screamed. I don't know why. Okay. Those movies were told from the opposite perspective, right? You're talking about Maleficent?
Yeah, they're told from Maleficent's point of view, and the arranged marriage is kind of not as much. But honestly, I don't see it as a story about Aurora as much as it's a story about these three women trying to raise a daughter and fucking it up so badly. One job and they messed it all up.
Yeah, I guess. There's also the other element of it that I would say is a little bit politically dated is basically the focusing on only the royalty as the only people who really matter. Like, something bad happens to the king's daughter. Let's put the entire castle to sleep because the only thing that matters is the king. And none of these other people have lives that matter. All they care about is the king's daughter coming back. That's all they give a shit about. It's like, it's a little weird.
Can we talk about the music for a second?
Absolutely. The music is fantastic.
Yes, that is the best score to any Disney film.
It is really, 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 really good. Which it is Tchaikovsky, so I guess it makes sense.
Yes, and someone recently asked me if there was a Disney animated film that I'd adapt into a stage show, what would it be? And I said Sleeping Beauty, except add a few more Tchaikovsky pieces and then turn it into a ballet.
Yeah, so just do the ballet.
Yeah, basically. The ballet with words, because I do like the lyrics that they wrote for this.
I think Once Upon a Dream might be the best Disney song.
Oh, I wasn't even going to go that far, but now, why do you say that?
I can't think of one that's better.
Hellfire?
I mean, that's good. I don't know if it's as good as Once Upon a Dream, though. Once Upon a Dream is so... It's, like, really catchy, but it's not, like, a pop song. Like, I will just sing this out of nowhere. I mean, yeah, I guess technically it's a pop song in that it's popular, but it's not a pop song. It's not written as a pop chord progression and pop melody, but it's super catchy and great. Like, I don't know. I would never, but I wouldn't be, like, singing Hellfire to myself ever. Whereas
I do that
Once
all
Upon
the
a Dream,
fucking time.
Once Upon a Dream pops in my head all the fucking time. It's really catchy.
I agree, but I can't say that it's, like, the best song of all time. I really...
It's not the, like, best song of all time. It's the best Disney song of all time.
You're Welcome still exists, though.
You're Welcome is a pop song and sounds like a pop song, and Once Upon a Dream blows it out of the fucking water. I don't care. Way better.
When I'm Human from The Princess and the Frog still exists.
Once Upon a Dream, way better. I don't care. You're wrong. Everyone agrees with me, Jess. All the comments in this video are like, yeah, he's right. There's no video, so you can't comment on this, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, so maybe you aren't right. What about A Little Patch of Heaven from Home on the Range, Andrew?
That's a good point. You have an argument there.
Yeah, I knew I'd win this episode somehow.
So actually, what though, the better song from Home on the Range is the one where the guy is singing and hypnotizing all the cows, and I don't remember what it's called.
Do you remember who played that guy?
No, I don't.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to speak incorrectly, but I'm pretty sure it was Randy Quaid.
It was
Randy Quaid.
All I remember about that guy is he is like the most generic Disney villain ever. Like, he looks exactly the same as the guy from Pocahontas.
They're two very different characters though, Andrew.
Yeah.
The guy from Pocahontas is coded gay, whereas the guy from Home on the Range is coded Southern.
Everyone in that movie is Southern.
Yeah,
and
but
they're not coded Southern, they're actually Southern.
No, he is coded Southern.
Oh, okay, coded Southern.
Do you know what happened to Randy Quaid?
I don't know what happened to Randy Quaid.
He's currently on the run from the government in Canada.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is he like the real version of his character from like the Vacation movies?
No, because his character from the Vacation movies like was lovable and nice, and he's just like antagonistic and mean. He like recorded a video of him having sex with his girlfriend while she wore a Rupert Murdoch mask and quoting Independence Day.
Okay. Why?
Andrew, I can't tell you why.
Or else you'll be in trouble with the government?
I mean, I just don't understand it.
That's fair.
Like, it all started in 2006 when Quaid was in Brokeback Mountain, and he sued the producers for misrepresenting the film as a low-budget art house film with no prospect of making money.
How should they have represented it?
I don't know, but he, like, saw it became a huge hit somehow. And then in 2009, he and his wife were arrested for allegedly defrauding at an innkeeper in Santa Barbara by using an invalid credit card to pay a $10,000 bill.
This guy is just all over the place, isn't he?
And then he was charged in 2010 for burglary after they spent 5 days occupying the guest house of a vacant home they were once owned in Santa Barbara. And then they claimed that the home was wrongfully transferred to a third party by the use of forged signature. Warrants for their arrest were issued, and after they have failed to appear in court, as a result, they also forfeited their bail. In October of 2010, he and his wife moved to Vancouver, Canada, where they sought asylum protections under the Canadian Immigration and Refugee Protection Act, stating that they feared for their lives in the United States.
You mean that they want to arrest you in the United States?
Jesus Christ, what a bad person. As far as we know, he's still there now.
Has he been in any movies after that?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. That's too bad. We lost a great talent.
Do you remember when he was on SNL?
No, I don't.
He was on SNL with the same time that Robert Downey Jr. was on SNL.
Oh, I don't remember that either. I don't watch SNL, really.
I only know this because Robert Downey Jr. had literally the most unwatchable SNL skit I have ever seen, and you know how bad SNL can be.
SNL can be very bad, so this has to be terrible.
It was,
or maybe it's just an average one.
They rolled him out in a suitcase, like his head sticking out of the top of a suitcase, and he just gave an insane monologue outside of a suitcase, and occasionally Randy Quaid would come in and hit him.
That was the skit?
That was the skit.
Good God, that's awful. What's it called?
Robert Downey Jr. Monologue.
I gotta check this out. All right, just let's talk about Sleeping Beauty first. Just type in Robert Downey Jr. Monologue.
Suitcase Monologue.
Oh, Suitcase Monologue, pardon me. Otherwise, we might get some deleted scenes from the Avengers movies.
He was on SNL for only a year, and he was 20 years old.
Yeah, what a great talent. It's too bad he died at the hands of Thanos.
His name was Suitcase Boy, I guess?
Oh, God.
I remember it used to be on YouTube, but like YouTube, like the SNL YouTube official, and then they took it down because it was just so bad.
Oh my God.
Sorry, guys. I know you're really looking forward to the commentary about Sleeping Beauty, but...
Okay. So, the animation? Let's talk about that, I guess. The music is great. We both agree on that. Animation? Also great?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It looks gorgeous. Like, the 70mm footage looks incredible.
It looks really good, and there's not nearly as many times where they're obviously just repeating animation as, like, some of the other early Disney stuff, so I appreciate that.
And there was none of those, like, ugly line, like mostly known in, like, 101 Dalmatians and Robin Hood, you can kind of see the ugly lines around it.
Yeah, yeah. It looks considerably better than earlier Disney stuff. I think that's about all the praise I have for the movie, though, because everything else is just kind of bland and a little boring at times.
What would you say was the plot of this, like, from your point of view?
The king and queen have a baby girl, and they're really happy about it, and they throw a big party.
But they forget to invite someone.
Well, they don't forget to invite her. She does not want it. but they invite the three fairies who give blessings, and then this queen, is she a queen? Just witch, I guess? Evil
Uptight
witch, who is...
Evil lady, with powers.
Evil witch named Maleficent? I can't even pronounce
Maleficent,
her name.
Maleficent, you fucking cuck.
Oh my goodness. Well, her name starts with Mal, so you know she's evil.
Just like the character from Inception.
Very true. Anybody named Malcolm, I automatically assume is evil, because Mal is bad. Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maleficent curses the baby to die at before 16. Not at 16, before 16. And then the plot is basically that the three fairies take the baby and raise her in the woods until she's 16, I guess to prevent her from dying to the finger prick from a spinning wheel. Though that fails because they bring her back. I don't understand why they bring her back on her 16th birthday instead of waiting until afterwards. But
yeah,
they bring her back on her 16th birthday. It doesn't really make sense.
It's
Why not just
stupid.
Wait till the next day? Why not just wait one day and bring her back the next day? But whatever, they bring her back that day, which basically gives her enough time to fulfill the curse, putting her to sleep. And then the fairies have to save her true love, which is a prince that she met one time in the woods, but also met in her dreams, so it's true love.
He was quick to pull that on her, too. Like, you said to yourself, we met in a dream. This is fine.
Yep. I mean...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, it works out easy. And then Philip has to kill Maleficent, who is a dragon, and he does. And then all is well. The end. That is, I mean, that is maybe a 3-minute synopsis, and that happens over an hour in 15 minutes, so.
It's a short movie, like, even by Disney standards, that's a pretty short movie.
I'm very glad it's a short movie, though. It's honestly, the reason I don't think I dislike this movie, other than that the animation and the music just bring everything up by a huge amount, is just how short it is. Like, I don't know, you can't really be that bored by a movie that's only an hour long.
I'm not gonna lie, the only part of the film I really actively enjoyed was Maleficent just reading poetry, which is just, her voice is so nice to listen to, and the scrump
song.
She's
the best part.
The scrump song between the king and Prince Philip's dad.
Yes. Oh, and him using a fish as a sword, and then after they stop fighting, he puts the fish into a holster. On his belt. Like, that's like the best visual gag in the whole thing.
You know me, usually I'm down for like the serious stuff and not a big fan of cheese. That was just pure cheese. I was like, just lay it on me. Dump, drizzle this shit all over my face.
It was the best part. Like, because all the serious stuff in this is so paper thin. Because it's just like, oh, it's a romance between two people who have never met. And, oh, this guy's gonna kill a dragon with some magic stuff that he just received. Like, there's no build-up to any of this stuff. It just kind of happens. I don't know. So, the best parts of it are just the songs and the cheese.
I don't know what else to say about this film. I can see why it flopped, is the weird thing to say.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought that this would be at least mildly successful, but I guess even back then, little girls didn't want to just be a sleeping beauty. They probably wanted to have some sort of active role.
I mean, here's how I'm envisioning the story from my point of view as Prince Philip.
Okay.
I meet this girl in the woods. Well, no, technically, I meet this baby, and I'm told I'm going to marry her, and I make a weird face that is very GIF-worthy.
Yeah,
I don't want to marry this baby. Like, am I the only one that sees the wrong thing here?
Yeah.
Either way, many years later, I run into her in the woods, and she's like, I will never see you again. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yep.
And I'm like, the fuck was that? And then
you also
suddenly,
don't know it's her.
Yeah. I don't know it's that
you
baby,
don't know.
But man, that baby got fuckable, man.
Yeah, but then he goes to her house and is kidnapped by an evil queen or evil witch, or I don't even know what she is.
Evil
she has
lady
her own
with
castle.
Magic. Green faced evil,
evil
lady
with magic. Yes. Kidnapped by that, and then some random fairies show up that save me and give me a sword, and I have to go and kiss a princess, apparently.
Without
and the
her
princess
consent.
Is the girl. Yeah, and the princess is also the baby that I met a long time ago, and also the lady I met in the woods. So they're all the same, I guess.
Then bam, marriage! I didn't ask for this!
Yeah. And as Kronk would say, oh yeah, it's all coming together.
You know, this, imagine, all right, can we please remake this? Except instead of the three fairies, we got one fairy and it's Kronk.
Oh, holy shit, that's a great idea, actually.
Actually, you know what would be a really good Disney Plus series? Like, this is an actual
what?
Pitch. Like, if they just took all their classic films and they just replace one of the, like, co-leads with Kronk and just see how the story changes.
I would like to see Patrick Warburton be down. I want it more not just replace. He's like, actively meddling with all the plots somehow. I want it, like, Kronk lovemaker, you know? Like, he's, like, setting these famous Disney couples up. Like, so he just shows up in different plots and he's like, I gotta get this to work, you know? I can't do a Patrick Warburton, but...
Wow, yeah, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together. I think that'd be great.
Well, but, like, then he's, like, in things like Lilo and Stitch and he's like, that's not like any dog I've seen.
Your impression of Robert Burton is even worse than mine, I think.
You're not wrong.
All right. Do you want to talk about how this movie is merchandised?
No. Because basically, all I want to talk about there is the live-action remakes we got.
Well, we're going to talk about those, aren't we, eventually?
They're not on Disney Plus as of now.
Are you serious?
I don't think any live-action
talk about them, then.
I don't think any live-action remakes have been posted onto Disney Plus.
That surprises me, because isn't that what Disney's kind of pushing right now?
Right. I wanted to watch the god-awful Lion King remake, but no, they don't have it.
God damn. Well, we'll talk about it when they put it on there. I mean, they're going to put it on there, right? Eventually.
I mean, the only live-action remake they have on there... Oh, wait, no, I lied. Maleficent's on there. We can talk about that later. But they also have the Lady and Tramp remake. Of it. I saw that in theaters, and the only thing I remember is that Aurora says, "I want to sit out here in the woods and eat black nuts," and I laughed in the theater.
Is that really all you wanted to say?
What else is there to say about that movie? It's dull and uninteresting. There's a rape allegory that is relatively well done.
I don't understand how you make Maleficent the good guy.
She got raped by the king, Stefan. And then she wants revenge.
So basically, you make Maleficent the good guy by making the good guy the bad guy.
You make her basically. She was in love with King Stefan, and then he raped her. He raped her, Andrew.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, but that's not mentioned at all in Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, he's just out there, like, scrumping it up.
I don't know. What I like is when you do, like, a twist by actually using stuff that is in the movie to be like, hey, this actually points to her being the good guy. But
what
there's
do you
really
mean,
nothing in Sleeping Beauty that could possibly point to her being the good guy.
I have a lot of issues with Maleficent because I feel like they're trying to do Wicked, and it's going to make it even cheaper whenever that Wicked movie eventually does come out.
I think Wicked is another bad example of how to do the bad guy is the good guy.
Oh, why?
I think we talked about it, but it's just they just create a completely new story out of thin air. And then say, oh, this is what really happened. But it's like, it doesn't have any relation. Like, in Wicked especially, they cut the entire Wizard of Oz the movie. So, like,
well,
it's bizarre.
They just don't show it. They don't cut it.
Yeah, but
it
they're
happens.
They're basically not using any cues from the movie to say, hey, this is why she's actually the good guy. They're just creating a new story and then tacking it on to the movie and saying, yeah, this actually happened.
Have you ever seen it done well is my question.
Yeah, I think Star Kids Twisted is the best example.
But
yeah.
It makes stuff up that didn't happen either.
The thing is, that one is also kind of a parody. But it does actually go through the Aladdin movie and legitimately go through each scene that happens and be like, hey, this is what he was actually doing. And then they use stuff that did happen in the movie, like whenever he would like vanish and they'd say, oh, he's a sorcerer. It's explained in the play, like, oh, no, he's not. He's just using, common things to create smoke, you know? So, like, it is using stuff that's in the movie. It's not just creating a different story and then saying, yeah, tack that onto the movie there.
But do you ever worry it could be more, like, become a little samey?
No.
You don't think so.
I think they should stop doing it, for one thing. I think the...
Have you seen Lion King 1.5?
I have, yes.
Do you think that does it well?
Did that movie have Scar be the good guy? I don't remember that.
It didn't have him be the good guy, but it changes like the backstory and goes through the entire movie and be like, oh, what you didn't see.
I remember that being more about Timon and Pumbaa than
anything.
Yeah,
it was.
I feel like Scar is very easily defensible. I mean, he's evil only in that he overthrows the king. And, I mean, it's a Lion King, so he's definitely killing all his subjects, so it's pretty defensible to, you know, get rid of a tyrant like that.
I'm gonna be a mighty king, so enemies beware.
I'm gonna kill and eat my subjects.
See y'all, best run away.
All right.
I think I ran out of steam there. So, Andrew, what do you think Walt Disney would have thought of this? Well, we already know what he thought of it. He was disappointed and therefore didn't adapt any more fairy tales until long after he was dead.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do the what would Walt think about the movies that were created when Walt was alive.
Sometimes
we
already
know what Walt thought. We already know what Walt thought. He didn't think it did well enough, so he stopped making them. He's like, yeah. Nope, no more fairy tales.
Nope, not touching that shit again. Fuck you.
Not touching that shit again.
All right, so what is your overall thoughts on Sleeping Beauty and your cheese rating?
My overall thoughts, the music is great. The animation is great. The story sucks.
Maleficent
is mercifully short. Maleficent is great. And honestly, I don't hate the fairies. I think they're okay. And I don't hate I don't hate the kings either. It's literally just like the lead couple sucks.
They needed a secondary couple in there.
Yeah. They needed characters. And they had characters. They just needed those characters to be the focus of the story and not Sleeping Beauty be the focus of the story, because she sucks and doesn't do anything. And Philip sucks and doesn't do anything. Why is the movie about them?
Because they're pretty. They're the breeding pair.
Yeah. All right. A cheese rating. Oh man, I don't know what to give this. I mean, let's think here. I mean, it's really well crafted and it's trash. But it's not bad because it's short. You know, I'm going to give it string cheese because I know it's not the greatest, but I still really enjoy it on some level.
Can I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the film is good. I think the 70mm printing of it looks incredible. Like, even just on my, like, 4K TV, I can see the difference from something like such as Snow White. Like,
I will say that on Disney Plus, it looks really good, too. Like, the version they have up there looks really good.
Yeah, and that's one thing I can say about Disney Plus. Like, I love the fact that they have the special features from the DVDs, and I love the upgraded, like, visual content. Like, they give us the highest quality version of all these films. So, I honestly cannot give this anything aside from Sleeping Beauty cheese from Cascadia Creamery.
I mean, that's the most literal cheese rating you could possibly give it, so I can't disagree.
I mean, when something's that perfect, you don't say no to it.
Yeah. Okay, your overall thoughts, I mean, you talked about Disney Plus and stuff. Would you recommend people watch this if they haven't seen it?
I mean, I think Maleficent looks cool, so yeah. And the Tchaikovsky music is great. I'm so glad they got the old man chorus of Disney to sing the songs of it. I hate the old man chorus of Disney, I'm not gonna lie. That used to scare me as a child. Return to Oz didn't scare me. It was the old dead voices that came out of these old Disney movies that terrified me as a kid.
Yeah, they all have the same sound. All those movies, because they use the same chorus, so makes sense.
Yeah, I hate it in Peter Pan, I hate it in this, I hate it in Snow White. Just have a character sing, don't have a group of disembodied voices sing. Disembodied dead men.
Yeah, I would say that I also recommend watching this just because it looks really nice. Watch it on Disney Plus; it looks great.
But don't pay too much attention to it.
It's also only an hour long, so it's not going to waste your time.
Yeah, it's an easy watch. It's fun, but don't expect too much. Don't expect like the best of Disney. Like even compared to Snow White, I'd still say that Snow White's better.
Yeah. But Once Upon a Dream, one of the best Disney songs.
One of the best, I'll agree, but not the best.
The best.
Is this another Someone in a Tree debate we're going to get into?
It's the best one.
All right. All right. Thank you guys, everyone, for listening. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, at Disney Plus Cheese. Our Twitter is Cheesy Disney. Please go subscribe to our YouTube page, our Musicals with Cheese. Our title card is created by the incredible Jolene Casco. Go send her some love on Instagram at Jolene Casco. Could you please leave us some reviews on iTunes? Like, we're just starting out. We need some love. Just give us some love. We need some love, please.
We love you guys. Thank you for checking out our new show. And yeah. Thank you for watching our old show.
Yes. I'm going to impregnate your mom. See you next time on Disney Plus Cheese.
What?
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.